Proverbs chapter number 1 tonight. We've just begun our study on the book of Proverbs. And we found out last week that God wants to do some things for us. In the book of Proverbs, teach us some things. It's very important that we as God's people learn to look at life from His perspective. So let's read verses, starting with verse number 1 tonight of the chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge, and discretion. As we said last week, we noticed that this is directed to the young people. But not just young people in age. We're also talking about young people in the Lord. When we receive Christ as Savior, we start to grow. We start as a babe in Christ, and we start to grow. And God wants us to put some things into our life that are very important. He wants us to put some folds into it. Notice it says, subtlety to the simple. He wants us to put some folds in our life, some creases in our life specifically to tell us where boundaries are and what we should do and what we shouldn't do to keep ourselves safe as Christians. And so let's pray, and then we'll continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Father, I thank you now for the way you care for us. Bless now the simpleness of what we learn. Give us understanding. Teach us thy way, please, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are 10 words which we must understand and know and understand the book of Proverbs. All through the book of Proverbs, they're used. These 10 words are very important. And also, the purpose for the book of Proverbs. Look again in chapter number 1 and verse number 2. To know. So now we're getting the purpose of the book, to do something. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. So there's words that God uses there on purpose. I believe that every word that's in the Bible, God put there for a reason. We can just read those words and go on and start to read all the details that he gives us. But we find that as we go through the book of Proverbs, that these same 10 words pop up over and over and over again. Now, I used to read the book of Proverbs every month. There's 30 Proverbs. You can read the book of Proverbs, one proverb a day, and read the book of Proverbs every month. Now, I haven't done that recently, but I've done that much of my life as a Christian. The reason I do that is because I need to understand and have wisdom. But as I started reading it, and I read it month after month after month after month after month, I noticed a pattern forming in the Word of God. I noticed these words kept coming up over and over and over again. And I thought I had a grasp on what they were. So one day I sat down and I started writing out the words that I noticed popped up over and over again. And I found out they all pop up at the very beginning of the book. And all are given for the reason of the book. We learned last week that we learned the definition of the word wisdom. Wisdom is to look at life from God's point of view. To know oneself, one's God, and your neighbor. God wants us to keep to know ourselves and everything about ourselves. Just as I can able as I know that, then I know how to get myself to do right. If I don't know about myself and I don't know about Him and how He looks at me and how He thinks of me and the values He places on me, then I won't think right about myself. For example, we learned last week that God believes that we're extremely important to Him. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for us. Now, if I was to take my only son, Doug, and offer his life as a sacrifice for your life, then you would have to have a great value to me. And God said, we're of value to Him. Oftentimes, we don't think of ourselves of having much to give. But it doesn't matter who you are, or what you are, or where you live, or how old you are, or how young you are, or what you've done in the past, or what you think you might do in the future, God says you're of extreme value to Him. And so if we get to know Him and life from His perspective, and then we get to know us from His point of view, then we'll see the value that we have, and we'll look at our own selves differently. And then we'll learn how to treat others. So we'll look at God, because God wants you to know Him. He says, I want you to know Me. I want you to know about My works. I want you to think like I think, so that you can go through life properly. God created all of this here. God created all of this here for a reason. Just like when a manufacturer makes an automobile, inside the glove box of that automobile, when you first buy it, you find a book. That book is the owner's manual. How to use this vehicle to its total capability. How to make it work to its total, to function to its total understanding. There are some times, you know, things that surprise you. I have a what I call a smart car. It doesn't have all this newfangled stuff that goes with smartphones. What it does is it turns my lights on and off when it's time. When at a certain time at night, it turns my lights on. At a certain time in the morning, it turns my lights off. I can put my windshield wiper on, and it'll make, when the moisture starts to hit the window, it'll wipe it off. When there's no moisture in the window, that doesn't wipe it off. I call it a smart car. It's a little smarter than I am sometimes. Now they got cars out there, if you push a button, it'll automatically park it for you. That's amazing, isn't it? They got cars that you can talk to now. Cars that'll answer you back. That's scary. It's interesting to me how that we often don't know how to use these things. They try to show us at the dealership, but I always have to pull out a book somewhere, especially if I have to change a light bulb. If you've got to change a light bulb, you've got to get that owner's manual out to learn how to do it right. Now, that sounds like an odd thing, but everybody's car seems to be different. And there's different ways to go about changing a light bulb. And so, if you want to change your car tire, you got a flat tire and you got to change your tire. You know, you got to put your jack in the right place or you'll bend your whole frame of the car. And so, you got to put that jack in the right place. How do you know where to put that jack? Well, you put the jack in the location that it says in your owner's manual. So you need to get to know the car that you drive. Just like we need to get to know the God in which gave us life. And then we need to get to know Him from His point of view. And then get to know ourselves from His point of view. Because He's created you and I. He gave us a book, an owner's manual. It's called the Bible. Amen. And so we need to apply what He has for us so that we can be used to the greatest of our ability. And then He tells us that we need wisdom. Or the word wisdom is to know ourselves, to know our God, and to know our neighbor. So we know how to handle ourselves and behave ourselves and judge ourselves before others so that we act right. You know, a lot of folks don't act right in this generation, it seems like. It seems like there's a lot of respect that's been lost for older people. There's a lot of things about the younger generation. I'm sure my grandmother and grandfather said the same thing about my young generation when I was a young generation. But there's something about that younger generation out there. You know how we are. And so, but we got to know how to behave before our neighbors. There's a way to behave and there's a way not to behave. There's a way to speak and a way not to speak. There's a way to address someone and a way not to address somebody. There's a respect that goes with some things. I may not like who holds the office of the presidency of the United States of America, but the office of the president demands a certain respect. I may not like a pastor of a church, but the office of a pastor demands some respect. I might not like a police officer that comes and talks to me about something. But the office of the police officer demands respect. I may not like the way a judge rules in the courtroom, but the office that he holds as being a judge demands respect. There's certain ways to act, certain ways to dress, certain ways to behave, I believe, when it comes to these kind of things. And so we learn how to behave with our neighbor. Then we learned our second word was instruction. Second word that's in there is instruction. Instruction comes from the word of the Hebrews, which means chastisement or to reprove or to restrain or to rebuke or a warning. We learned that last week. The actual word means an authoritative direction to be obeyed. That is what instruction is. It's an authoritative direction to be obeyed. So if we put the two words together that we learned last week, God wants us to... So let's look at verse number 2. To know wisdom or life from God's point of view, so we get to know ourselves, we get to know how God looks at us, so we know how to behave with our neighbor. And instruction, which means then to follow with authority the directive given to us, the direction given to us, and to obey it. Where is the direction coming from? God. Or is it going to come out of the book of Proverbs? What's it going to tell us? Is it going to tell us the things that we need to do? The third word we're going to learn tonight. The third word that we see in there, verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Perceive is an important word. Perception. Perception is where the word perceive comes from. And it means this, to look well to. To look well to. Or to mark. Or to skillfully think. Or to become aware of. Perception. To look well to or to become aware of something. To mark something because we become aware of it. To skillfully think about something so that we're aware of what it's talking about. That's what the word perception means. I need to be able to perceive things correctly when I'm talking with other people, when I'm talking with Christians, when I'm talking with the unsaved, when I'm reading the Word of God, when I'm doing my finances, when I'm taking care of my children, when I'm raising my family, when I'm looking at life. I need to make sure that I perceive things according to what they are. In other words, I need to look well to them. I need to mark that which is good and mark that which is not good. I need to mark the direction I should go and mark the direction that I shouldn't go. I need to skillfully think or become aware of those things that are all around me, so I'm careful. We do that when we drive. Oftentimes we don't recognize that anymore because we've been driving for such a while. But when we first started driving, we started looking at it all over the place. And I took driver's education, a long time ago, 40 years ago. When I took driver's education, they taught me to look in my mirrors. Look in my mirrors. Look in my side mirror. Look in my back mirror. Look in my side mirrors. Look in my back mirrors. Look in my side mirrors. Look in my back mirrors. To become aware of everything around me. When someone's driving behind me and goes into the lane next to me, goes into the left lane or the right lane next to me, and they're going to pass me, realize where your blind spot is, and then find a way to be able to look over your shoulder to be able to see those that are in your blind spot. What they were telling me was to be aware of things that are around me. What they're telling me is to be careful of what's going on. When I was learning to drive a car, they said never drive the car with just thinking about your place in line as you're driving. Drive the car thinking about two or three drivers in front of you. Because if you think about two or three drivers in front of you, when you see the lights, the brake lights coming on cars way ahead of you, then you have to realize you're going to have to apply your brakes. Something's going on up there, so you get prepared because you're aware of what's going on around you. I was in the car the other day, and I'm not sure who was with me, but suddenly I heard a siren go off. Might have been Doug. I don't know. It might have been Steve. I don't remember who it was. I heard a siren, and I said, "Oh, I hear a siren." I said, "We need to look around and find out where I couldn't find them." Suddenly, I said, "It must have been Steve," because they said, "Oh, there they are up there." I said, "Okay, now I got to find a place to pull over because you have to open up the road." And sure enough, the fire engine came right down the lane that we were in. So it was a good thing that I heard it, was aware of it. Looked for somewhere to move over to so that fire engine could get to where it was going to. I don't know where the fire was. I don't know if it was a medical emergency they were going to. All I know is that they were trying to get somewhere. And my job is to get out of the way. So I needed to perceive what was going on around me, to look well to it, to mark it, to skillfully think about it, to be aware of it, and take an action as a result of the perception. They say that each one of us have something called depth perception. And I believe them. That means we can tell how far away something is from us. If you ever go into a ballpark, though, and watch the ball game, you don't go to the ballpark often, and somebody hits a ball, sometimes we can't tell if that ball is going to be a foul ball or if it's in the playing field. Because our perception is off a little bit. If you don't have depth perception and you're driving down the road and there's a tree in front of you or a branch over the top of the car as you're driving by, you don't know if that branch is going to hit your car or if it's way above your car because you don't have that depth perception that tells you that. So the word perception then becomes very important, that we understand what God's trying to tell you and I, that we need to be aware of things. If you don't have depth perception, you're not aware of what you need to do. And if we don't have biblical perception of what's going on around us, if we don't have look well to where we're going, to mark what we're doing, to skillfully think through the process that we're in, to become aware of all those things around us, then sure enough, we're going to end up in a wreck. And that's not what God wants for you and I. So the whole book of Proverbs then is to not only to teach us to look at life from God's point of view, it's not just to teach us how to obey authoritative directions that God has given to us, but to be aware of those things that are around us spiritually. He wants to give us those landmarks around us so we know how to behave. When I was learning how to drive, I learned what different signs meant. So that when you got to the intersection, you already knew what to do. Because the signs told you before you got to that intersection. Whether you could turn right or turn left or whether you could turn at all. Whether you had a stop sign coming up or whether you had a light stop light coming up. I'm glad that they give us information before we get to that intersection so we can perceive what's going to happen when we get there. So I'm aware. I'm prepared. God doesn't want us to go through life unprepared. He wants us to go to life prepared, ready to go. So, perception, the fourth word there we see in verse number 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Fourth word is understanding. Understanding. You will find this word repeatedly. Understanding, 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 understanding. Comes over and over and over and over again, almost as many times as the word wisdom comes up in the book of Proverbs. The word understanding means this, to apply the view of God. To comprehend it, and most importantly, to accept it. To apply the view of God, comprehending it and accepting it. That's what understanding is. God says, I want you to understand me. I want you to understand my view of you. I want you to adopt the same view of you that I have of you, of your great value to me. So this way you can learn how to behave before other people. So then you can obey the directions, the authoritative directions that I give you, so that you're well able to mark all those things around you, to think skillfully and become aware of things that are around you, so that you're able then to apply my view, because you comprehend it, and you accept it. That last part, that accepting part, is probably the hardest part in life. To accept what God is doing. We always want to control. Accept God's will, God's wisdom, God's perception, God's instruction means it's out of our hands. And we have to depend on Him. So as a young Christian, he's saying, we need to apply what we've learned about God's view. About everything we're going to talk about in the book of Proverbs, because God's wisdom on all sorts of things are going to come up over and over and over again. We're going to talk about how to behave in business. We're going to talk about how to behave as an individual, how to behave as a husband, how to behave as a man, how to behave as a woman, how to behave as a wife, how to behave as a Christian, how to behave in your daily life, how to behave with your relatives. We're going to talk about all sorts of behavioral things all through the book of Proverbs, over and over and over again. How to behave with someone who hates you. How to behave with someone who doesn't like you. How to behave with someone who loves you. How to behave with somebody who kind of loves you but doesn't really love you deeply. All these things are going to be covered in the book of Proverbs. So God wants us to understand that when we look at these things, these are the directions He's giving to us. He wants us to grasp hold of them because we understand His point of view of it so that we can put it together in our life. So that we can be aware of what's going on around us, so we know how to treat other people, and then when we come to these things, that we'll apply His truth and accept it whether we want to do it or not. And that's the biggest, hardest, difficultest thing in a Christian's life. And what's that word? Understanding. Now, I would have never thought that the word understanding meant to apply God's point of view and accept it. Until I looked up the word. I never understood that or meant that. I thought understood means to take it to comprehend something. It doesn't mean just to comprehend it with God. It means we need to accept what God's saying, applying it to our life, realizing that He knows better than you and I do. To apply God's view, to comprehend it, to grasp what's going on, and to accept it for its good and for what we would think is bad. But God never has bad for you and I. He always has good. Well, sometimes it's hard to understand how God could ever have any good in my life. If you knew everything that happened, then doesn't matter. The key is, if we're looking at life from God's point of view, He's trying to teach us how to behave in these situations. Many times our life is a mess because we've made them a mess. Because we haven't applied wisdom to the situation. We haven't looked at life from God's point of view. We've looked at it from the point of view that the world teaches. And that's not wisdom. The Bible says what the world calls wisdom, He calls foolishness. And much of what's happened in your life and in my life is nothing but a bunch of foolishness that we've let happen because we haven't put these lines of defense or these lines of instruction, these lines of wisdom, we haven't ironed into our life these pleats that keep us safe as we go through life. So the younger we are, the more value it's going to have. The younger in Christ we are, the more victorious your Christian walk will be because we're ironing these things into our life. The fifth word tonight is the word justice. Instruction. Instruction. We already did instruction. All right. To verse 3, to receive instruction and wisdom. We already learned those two words. So we see they're already repeated in the Word of God. And then the word justice. Justice. To receive instruction and wisdom, justice. Now that's interesting that God would put that right up there with instruction and wisdom. The word justice means right. To do right. To live by natural, moral, and legal laws. The dictionary puts it this way: conforming to the moral right in action and attitude. Now that's an interesting definition. That's not, again, a word that I would think justice meant. I would think justice means to give me what I want when somebody does me wrong. Justice. Now a lot of people apply the word justice, but that's not what the word justice means. It means conformity to moral right and action and attitude. To conform to a moral right in action and in attitude. So God's telling us that we need to conform to the natural, moral, and legal rights in our action and our attitude. There's a way that you and I need to have justice, the doing of right. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, it's always right to do right. He used to say all the time, it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. And though he said that way back in the early 19-teens, over 100 years ago, it's still true today. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. It's never right to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Every time we do that, that's not the application of justice. We're not doing justice. To do justice is to follow the moral, natural, and legal right in action and attitude. Now that's interesting that it contains those two words, actions and attitude. I can often do the right thing in action, but have the wrong attitude while I'm doing it. Can't you? But God says wisdom and the application of wisdom is to apply justice. And that doesn't mean to make everything equal. Justice means a conformity to the moral, natural, and legal right in action and in attitude. So I'm going to keep the speed limit not because the cop's going to give me a ticket, but because it's just the right thing to do and I'm not going to have a bad attitude about it. Now for me, that's a difficult thing to do. I should go out down the road as quickly as I can without hurting anybody. But if you sit on this road, this is just a little city street at nighttime. And you just sit on the porch or you sit on one of the chairs out front or you sit with the windows open and you hear the cars go by. They go flying by. And there's people walking around this neighborhood all the time. And all it'll take is one little child to step out in front of that speeding car down the road that's flying down the road at 30, 35, 40 miles an hour. And that person's life is ruined. who's driving the car as well as the one who gets hit by the car. As well as those whose little one got killed. Or because maybe we didn't want to do right according to our action or maybe our attitude. We just want things our way. Let's just face it. We live in the generation, I call it the McDonald's generation. Have it your way. And that's the generation we live in. I'm a part of that generation. I'm not proud to be a part of that generation, but I am a part of that generation. Our generation thinks about us, me, my. And then, if we have time, we might start to think about somebody else. But really, we think about us more importantly than anybody else. Yeah, it should be. They should give that to me. I should have that. Oh, give me over here or give me over there. I deserve it. We hear more about me than having the right attitude about how to treat people, how to care about people, about the doing of right. Right is always right. It doesn't matter if it's a moral issue. It doesn't matter if it's a legal issue. It doesn't matter if it's a spiritual issue. It doesn't matter if it's a natural issue. Right is always right. It's amazing. I talked about lying this morning, how if you tell one lie, then you got to tell a second lie to make up for that first lie you told. And then you got to make up a third lie because you may not remember exactly how the first two lies went. And now you got to cover yourself for that with a fourth lie to cover what you said the first, second, and third lie. And before you know it, your whole life becomes a lie. And there's nothing true in your life. And that's how it is when it comes to our attitude. Our attitude needs to be right. And God's telling us if we really want to understand Him, if we really want to have a life of value, then what we must do is we must have an adjustment of our attitude to that which is justice. Justice meaning natural, moral, and legal conformity to the right. An action and an attitude. I can't adjust anybody's attitude for them. I can only adjust my attitude. It's cute. It's really kind of funny. I noticed as my children were growing up that they started to develop what we called attitudes. And they never thought they had an attitude. Now my children are raising their children. And they're realizing their children have attitudes. And their children don't think they have an attitude. But we do. We develop attitudes. And we get to the place where we think our attitude's all right. It's just your attitude that's wrong. And we need to have the attitude that God wants us to have. And the only way to get that is by getting wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? By reading the Word of God. By getting to know God. By getting to know Him. By applying these truths to our life. So I want you to notice too, again, it says action, so that means application. You notice almost every one of these words have to do with us applying it. I'm going to say this, I said this a couple weeks ago, I want to say it again. Reading the Word of God isn't like sprinkling spoofle dust or magic powder on us. Okay, I read my Bible now, everything's going to be fine with my life. We can read it all day long, but if we never apply it, then it's never going to have any effect. The Bible says, we walk by faith, and that's true. But then God says without works our faith is dead. What's that mean? That means application of what we say we believe. We can say we believe in the power of God all day long, and great is our God, and He can do absolutely anything. But then when it comes to application, we don't apply that. We say, oh, I better take care of this myself because God's not going to handle it. And oh, I thought you said this is what you believe though. I thought you said this is what the Bible said. But when it comes to application in our life, faith, the Bible says, without works, boy, this is a good message right there. I need to write a whole message on that, is dead. Faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. It means it's just dead. It doesn't do anything. It's dormant. It just lies there. Like a dead body. It once was active, but now it's no longer active. It accomplished something, but no longer can accomplish anything. It's dead. And the Bible says, faith without works is dead. It's not accomplishing anything. The point of our faith and walking by faith, the just shall live by faith. The point of that is so that we can go out and attract other people to Jesus Christ, because so they can see the great power of God that goes in our life. But if we don't effectively apply faith to our life, then our faith is dead. And we are accomplishing nothing unless we allow God to walk through us. So, we've learned a few words then, haven't we? We've learned the word justice. And tonight I want to give you one more word, judgment. Notice in verse number 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. Judgment. The word judgment means to pronounce a verdict in a human and divine law. To pronounce a verdict in a human and divine law. Guilty, not guilty. That's a verdict. Do it, don't do it. That's a verdict. God says we need to have good judgment. Do it or don't do it. Go that way, don't go that way. Be this way or be that way. Guilty or not guilty. In human and divine laws. If the law in America said you could not preach the Bible or read the Bible or tell other people about Jesus Christ, my verdict, according to the Word of God, would be to continue to give out the gospel regardless of what man's law says. But they'll lock you up. Well, wisdom says, I follow God. He's the Almighty. He's above all. He's a supreme being. Amen. That He is the sovereign over everything of man. In the law of the country, in this point, in this area, of God's area, doesn't have any value because they've superseded their place. So judgment tells me then I do what God says rather than what the world tells me to do. However, if human law says do not kill, then the verdict is I don't kill somebody. So no matter how angry somebody may make me, I'm not going to take up a baseball bat and knock him in the head and kill him. I'm not going to take out a knife and cut out their heart. I'm not going to take a shotgun and blow them in the smithereens. Because man's law says, do not kill. Well, that goes along with God's law. So according to God's law, the verdict in human law and divine law is, don't do it. That's the verdict. Don't do it. Oh, you may want to do it. Don't do it. You may feel like you have the right to do it. Don't do it. But then if the law, human law says, if you are protecting life and limb, then you may take actions to defend yourself, which may mean you must kill someone to protect you and your family. So if my life is threatened, and I have no other out but to defend my wife and my children and my grandchildren or my own life with lethal force, then I must take that lethal force. I have to make that decision. God allows me also in His Word to defend myself in such a format. So then I must come up with a verdict. Do it or don't do it. How about this? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's how the verse goes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is a good opportunity. No, this is right. So then I, as a child, must make a decision to obey my parents, whether I want to or not, because justice says to come up with a verdict. The verdict, according to God's law, is obedience. So obey. Oh, by the way, the world's not opposed to that either. Human law. So there's many areas that we need to bring judgment into our life. Justice, conforming to the moral right, the legal right, the natural right, in action and attitude. And then for us to make that verdict when it comes to that human law or divine law. So let's take a look at the second verse. Let's read verse 1, 2, and 3 with what we know so far. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know, or the purpose of this book. To have wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. To know God, to know yourself, and know how to treat your neighbor. And instruction, which is instruction means to come forth with chastisement or reprove or restrain or rebuke ourselves. Being careful to authoritative direction so it'll be obeyed. So I need to obey authoritative direction. To know wisdom, God's wisdom. To understand it enough to then apply what I've learned in my instruction, realizing it's coming from God. And then to perceive the words of understanding. Perceiving meaning to look well, to mark, to skillfully think, to be aware of those things that are around me. So that when I go to the words of understanding. Understanding meaning to apply the view of God to comprehend it and accept it. I know which one it is, and to receive instruction of wisdom and justice. Then justice is following and conforming to the moral right, the legal right, and the natural right in action and attitude, and come up with judgment or verdict. This is what I need to do. So really what we see here in verse 1 and 2 is that God, or verses 2 and 3, is God is giving us a process now of how to think in our brains to come up to the right answer as we're going through life. Isn't that amazing? So when we look up these words, we start to realize that God's giving you and I a way to apply all these things that are coming our way in life to our life. Because when we start to understand how God thinks about us, how God wants us to behave before others, we start to realize these different things that all bring us down at this point to judgment. And what's our judgment now? Judgment means to pronounce a verdict in a human and divine law. So that's telling me the direction I should go. That's an amazing statement when we think about that. So in these first three verses, we have one more to learn yet out of these verses. One more word. We're not going to take the time to do it tonight, but it's the word equity. But when it comes down, so far God's giving us a direction to take our thoughts into, isn't He? If we really want wisdom then, we need to realize that we need to start thinking like God wants us to think. We need to start bringing away from all ourself, all the things we've learned from the world, and start to apply instruction and understanding and wisdom and equity and understanding and perception and judgment and justice according to the way that God thinks. And suddenly, as we start to do that, we're going to find that God puts boundaries in our life that are there to protect us. I got this one statement and I'm done. I have in my backyard here a fence. It's a boundary. It has a boundary for two reasons. One, I have grandchildren. And they can wander out there and be safe because there's a boundary around the yard that they can't get out of. And it keeps that which could harm them away, and it keeps them away from things that could harm them. And I have dogs. I love my dogs, and I go on outside, and my dogs think they can out-dog any dog in town. Just like your dog. My dogs are small. My dogs think that they can take on any squirrel that comes by. And every squirrel that comes by. And we've got some wild animals that come by. Believe it or not, in the city of Cleveland, there are wild animals that live here. And they do come by and visit. And my dogs think they can go out there and lick every one of them. Let me out. Let me get him. Oh, I can get him. Let me get him. But the fence is the boundary. So when those animals are out there and my dog's out there, I don't have to worry about them. Oh, my dogs also think that they can lick any person that walks by the property. So I'm going to go bite their legs off. Look, they're out there. I'm going to get them. But they can't get through the fence. So where they might hurt someone, or where they might get hurt, the fence becomes their boundary, their line of protection. And God says, I want you to put wisdom in your life. That's a boundary, a line of protection. So you're safe where you should be. So nothing can get in to hurt you. And you can't get out to hurt somebody else. Or you won't step out of line to destroy your life. And no one can come in over your boundaries and destroy your life. What an amazing God we have. He sure does care about us. Father, I thank you for what we've learned tonight.